Well, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, we'll have a Bible reading there. And we'll read from verses 1 to 7. Starting from verse 1, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For if he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And I trust the Lord will use his word for his purposes. Let's come before him in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you that we can put it aside and worship you. Lord, this is the day we remember that Christ rose from the dead and sealed, Lord, our salvation, showing that he had paid it all in full, the payment for our sins. And we give glory to you for that. And thank you that we can come and worship you on this resurrection day. And that, Lord, as we stop and we consider you and your word, we ask that we would put this time aside in our hearts and minds and sanctify it before you. That, Lord, will make it special by giving your word the place that it deserves in our hearts and minds, and that, Lord, we will allow your spirit to minister to us, and that, Father, we would meditate upon the things that you have revealed here and the things that your spirit speaks to us with, and that, Father, we'll allow you to transform us into that image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time, 2 weeks ago, when we were in the book of Hebrews, we looked at the last part of chapter 10, and we saw how the key statement in the chapter is found in verse 38, where it says this, that the just shall live by faith. And I explained how living by faith really means you believe what God says, and it affects how you live today. People will be able to see if you're living by faith, not by having this miraculous way of beaming into your soul and seeing faith there, but they will be able to see if you're living by faith by simply looking at your actions, the way that you live every day. And we saw how these believers that this epistle was written to were able to take persecution. They were able to get their houses rummaged through and their possessions taken, and they were able to take all that with joy. And the reason why they were able to take that with joy is they were living by faith, in that they believed something that God said, and that is God said that he would reward them for the way that they are living in eternity, with eternal rewards. And knowing that enabled them to go through that persecution and the spoiling of their goods with joy. And I was explaining how it would be the same for us. For us to be able to live by faith, we must first know what God says, and then we must believe what God says. And when we know it and when we believe it, then it will affect how we live on a daily basis. And what the writer does in chapter 11 is give us some examples of people who live by faith. And I explained how when we look at a number of these people, you'll see that it always talks about their actions, how they lived when they had that faith in what God said. And over the next, I realise that we could probably look at this chapter, probably about 10 messages if I really wanted to, but I'm going to bring it down. But over the next 5 or 6 messages, I want to look at a number of these examples, and not just the example, but the circumstances where faith was required at that time in their life. And I want to show you how we ought to be acting in the same way that these people acted when we go through similar circumstances in our life, if we want to be people who live by faith. And we're going to look at a number of examples. We're going to look at how there was a judgment to come, and there still is. We're going to look at a time where there are unknowns in our life. And isn't it true? There are lots of unknowns in our life, and that is a time when we're to walk by faith. Also, when it comes to sacrificing things for the Lord, and faith is required at that time. Also, temptation to sin, and we all know what that is like. And there is faith and living by faith required when there is temptation to sin. Also, when things don't make sense in our life. And isn't that true at times? There are things that happen in their life and it just doesn't make sense. Why is this happening, Lord? Why are you allowing this to happen? Well, it happened to someone as well, or a group of people, as we see here in chapter 11. And there are some things that we need to trust God about in those times as well. Faith in God, in what God has said, is required in all of these circumstances and others. And when we believe God and trust Him, well, then it'll affect how we act in those circumstances. And so that's what we're going to be looking at in the next 5 or 6 messages here in Hebrews. Now, today we're going to be looking at Noah. And we discover here that Noah's faith about a judgment to come produced a willingness to serve God faithfully. He got told there was a great judgment to come, and it affected how he lived. And the way that it affected him was he was willing to serve God faithfully. And if we believe what God says about the judgments to come as well, it will have the same effect in our everyday life as well. It has to. You know, some have asked, why do you get some believers who spend all of their free time doing as they please? They never put themselves out for the Lord or His work. They never sacrifice their time or their money. They do their once on Sunday thing, and then for the rest of their days or week, it's all for them and nothing to do with the Lord. Why do you have people like that when you have other Christians who find out what their spiritual gifts are and their talents are, and they seek to serve the Lord in any way possibly they can with those things? And they don't just go to church, but they are actively involved in the work of that church, and they spend time helping others, sharing about Christ with others, and serving in that local church where the Lord has ordained that that is where the gospel is to go out, and they serve the Lord in the ministries of that local church in any way possible. Why do you get the two opposites when it comes to Christians? Why does some want to serve the Lord in any way possible while you get others who don't want to serve the Lord in any way? Why do you get that? Well, it comes down to what you believe. Noah was a man who believed what God said, and it affected how he lived his daily life. And he served the Lord. It says there in verse 7 of chapter 11, by faith, that is, due to his faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. That's the important little part. Not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You see, Noah was warned by God of things not seen as yet. God told him something was going to happen in the future. Now, for us, it's something in the past. You know, we know exactly what happened. But for Noah, he didn't have the Bible to read to say, oh, Noah went through a big flood and so on. No, this was something in the future. He hadn't seen it. But regardless of that, Noah believed it, and it had an effect on him in that it caused him to fear. God said, Noah, I'm going to send a flood over the entire earth. And Noah believed it, and it affected how he acted. You know, when God told him, he didn't say, well, I find that really hard to believe, Lord. Maybe a local flood, but not a flood over the whole world. I've never seen rain. How do you expect me to believe it's going to rain? What is a flood? How could you get so much rain to make a flood? I find that really hard to believe, God. That wasn't his response. When God told him there was going to be a flood over the world, he didn't say, okay, Lord, yeah, rightio, a big flood. Okay, I get the picture. And then go on living his life exactly the way he had been prior to hearing that news. He didn't say to the Lord, wow, that's a big ark. Can't you get somebody else to build it? That's a lot of work. Why can't you get someone else to do that? Because I've got so many things that I'd like to be doing instead, God. Can't you get someone and I'll just go and help them every now and then when I get a bit of time? That wasn't his response. We see that he was moved with fear and he went about to prepare for that coming judgment and that flood by building an ark. We're told that he also went and preached to others. He didn't just care about his own family, but he cared about everybody else as well, and he was a preacher of righteousness. He not only built the ark and prepared it, but he also went out and told others about how there was a judgment of coming of a great flood, and they needed to prepare and come and help as well. And so, the news that God told him affected how he lived. And brethren, he goes down as one of the men that lived by faith. That's how he is described. And you know, just like Noah never had seen rain or a flood, all he knew about that sort of stuff was what God told him, so too we've never seen hell. I trust we haven't. We've never seen it. All we know is what God has told us. And we're told that whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into it. We're told that it is a place where there is torment and weeping and gnashing of teeth, where terror and fear and pain never ends. This is what God's told us. Now the question is, do your actions show that you believe it? Not, oh yeah, I believe it. I'm not interested in what you say. Do your actions show that you believe it? If we really believe what God said about it, well then it should cause us to fear and motivate us to act in certain ways, just as it did with Noah. To witness to others, to speak of Christ when the opportunities arise. How many times have you had an opportunity to speak of Christ, but you have feared them rather than fearing the judgment to come and what will come upon them? And so you keep your mouth shut rather than speaking and acting the way that you ought to. But it should motivate us to speak the gospel. It should motivate us to serve the Lord in any way possible. In the local church where he has ordained that is where the gospel is to go out, we should be willing to do that. You know, it should reflect in the way that we act. Not, yeah, I know there are ways that I should be serving the Lord, but it's just too hard. Or, yeah, I know there's a judgment to come, and I know that I need to tell people about the Lord, but I've got so many other things that I want to be doing instead. Can't you get someone else to do it? Not, well, I know there's thousands of kids out here, and you just got to look in our city alone. There are thousands of children that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You only have to open your eyes to see that. But when you look at that, do you think, well, I'm so glad there are other people doing that work, and I don't have to do it because I just haven't got the time. What is your reaction when you consider that there is a judgment to come? You know, for me, I want to do anything I possibly can involved to get involved to do that, to tell others. If we believe what God says about a judgment to come, like Noah, well then, that faith will motivate us to change our priorities and put God's work far above our own pleasures. That's how it'll affect us. But we're told in the Word of God that hell is not the only judgment to come. Brethren, we're told that God has given each one of us gifts and talents that He wants us to use for His ministry. We all are to play a part, just like every member of our body plays a part in the functioning of us staying alive and fulfilling what we're meant to be doing. And we're told very clearly in the Word of God that we are like a member of that local church to enable the local church to work as it ought to in fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we are all have a part to play. Some are different parts. Some maybe are larger or seen or whatever than others. But we all have a part to play. And He has told us very clearly in His Word that He will judge each one of us for how we have acted in the body of Christ and in the local church when it comes to this commission. He has told you He will judge you for that. There's also a judgment for us as believers. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe what God says? Or do you read that and think, I don't know. Well, I'm not interested in what you say. Look at what you do. Do your actions show that you believe that God is going to put you, you're going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ and He's going to judge you according to your works in that how you have served Him? You know, the day that this clicked for me, it changed everything. You know, when it clicked that there was going to be a punishment for sinners, a terrible one. Not only that, when it clicked that I was going to be judged for the way that I have served the Lord in telling the lost through my local church, that changed everything. You know, for me, my pursuits didn't seem that interesting anymore. You know, my goals of what I wanted to do. I wanted to be this great dairy farmer. Why? I don't know why. But anyway, I'm glad He had better ideas. Right? But, mate, sitting on that tractor, driving around, milking cows and doing everything like that, you couldn't get a better life, I thought. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong and evil. But the reality is, that didn't matter. Now, instead of saying, Lord, this is my life, I'm going to live it the way I want to live it and do what I want, but I'll go to church and make you happy, all right? Instead of that, now I went to, Lord, this is your life. I'll do as you please. I'm bought with a price. Whatever you want, I'll do it. Now, if He wanted me to be a dairy farmer and serve the Lord faithfully in the local church, I still would have done that. But He showed me it was something else. But I came to that place where I realized, Lord, what do you want me to be doing? That's the most important thing. And that's what Noah did. Noah didn't say, I don't think so, Lord, I've got other plans. Noah believed what God said, and it affected how he lived. And so faith in a judgment to come produced actions, firstly, to work for the Lord. He went to work serving the Lord, building that ark. And it also should have that effect on us. We should be willing and wanting and actively serving the Lord in the local church, serving Him in any way He wants us to. That should be an action that is seen. But also, as well as this, we see in the life of Noah that it produced faithfulness in the Lord's work as well. That is, he not only went to work, but he stuck at the work until it was finished also. And that's an action that it should produce in us also. See, we're not told how long it actually took to build the ark. The common amount is 120 years, but I don't think that is true. There is we're not specifically told, and I think there's a very good reason to believe that it was well under 100 years. Now you think, oh, well, it wasn't 120. It was under 100, but it was probably over 80 anyway. Now you think about that, building an ark for around 80 years. That's a long time, isn't it? You know, the ministries that you've been involved in the local church here, you're probably, if you've been in it for over 2 or 3 years, you're probably starting to feel a little bit tired and you're getting used to it and it's not as exciting as what it used to be, and the painful things seem to be more painful and the exciting things seem to be less exciting. And you're probably thinking, mate, how much longer can I keep doing this? And you've been doing it for what, 3, 4, 5, 10 years? What about 80 years doing the same thing? But we see here that this is what Noah did. He was faithful in the work. And I'm sure that every time he hit his finger, every time he got a splinter, every time he dropped something on his toe, every time a group of people walked past and made fun of him and criticized him, it could have easily led to him just saying, oh, I've had enough of this, I'm sick of doing this. But he kept going because there was a flood coming and he believed it. And we don't find Noah having a few years off, sidetracked on doing something else. Oh, I just want to pursue these little goals for a while, and then I'll get back to it. No, there was a flood coming. We don't see Noah giving up halfway along after 45 years. I've been on 45 years, and look, there's so much more to do, and I'm absolutely sick of this. It's boring. I'll let someone else take over. You don't read that. You don't read him dropping his tools and throwing him down and never coming back again after someone said something mean to him. Maybe one of his sons had a go at him for something and so he threw down the tools and off he went. You don't read that. Why? Because regardless of how he felt, regardless of how monotonous it may have been, regardless of how hard it may have been or boring it may have been, there was still a flood coming. Nothing was going to change that. And that motivated him to keep going. And even when we get frustrated, brethren, or someone criticizes us, or the way that the Lord wants us to serve Him gets boring, or we get used to it, or whatever it may be that frustrates you, it doesn't change the fact there is a judgment to come. And that should motivate us to stay faithful. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, we're told. Because if we continue, we will be rewarded, it says. You know, if you met Noah a year after God had spoken to him, walked up the driveway and you come up to his house and there's this big, wide-open field and there's these planks lined up on the ground in the shape of a big ark, and you go to his house and he's up there hammering on his house, and you go to him and say, Noah, is it true that God said that there's going to be a flood? If he turned around and said, yep, it's a huge flood. It's going to destroy the whole world. If you said to him, well, what have you done so far? He said, well, I've sort of laid out sort of the way it should be, but I just got a little bit sick of that. And besides, I really want to get the extension done on the house before the flood comes. You know, I just want to get that looking nice. And there's a few old chariots I want to get cleaned up before the flood. And Mrs. Noah, she's been on to me about this veggie garden. Get the veggie garden done before the flood. And so I just really haven't had much time on it yet. But once I get all these things sorted out, then I'm going to get back to it. You know, if that's the way he responded, you'd be scratching your head and thinking, well, he says there's a flood coming, but he certainly doesn't live like there is one. Wouldn't that be your reaction? Why are you worried about the house when it's going to get destroyed and the veggie garden and the chariots? Why aren't you actually preparing for the actual flood by getting that ark ready and telling others about the flood? I'm sure that would be our reaction. Yet God's told us there's a greater judgment to come. You know, please turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. This is what God has told us. And he has used Noah's flood as a comparison to encourage us. Just like Noah had a flood and a judgment, we also have a judgment to come. It says there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's Noah's flood. The world was perished through water, being overflowed by water. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God has prepared a day of judgment, and this time it's with fire. Verse 8, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so we're talking about another judgment when he destroys the whole earth with a great fire. And it says there in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. See, this world is going to be burnt up next time, we're told. Now, this is what God says, you believe it or not. That's not my words, these are God's words. And it's up to you to choose if you're going to believe it or not. But he says that it won't be destroyed by water. He's made that promise. But it will be destroyed by fire. And each soul who rejects Christ will be sent to a fiery hell. There's an eternal judgment to come. And the Lord has said, I want you to work for me. You are my servant. I have bought you with a price. You are no longer your own. You're not to lay up treasures here on earth, but lay them up in heaven. I want you to seek first, above everything else, my kingdom and my righteousness, and I'll add these other things to you as I seem fitting. But I will reward you in heaven with eternal things. Now the question is, on the basis of how you live, does that show that you really believe it or not? That's the question you must ask. When you stack up what God has said about the future and how there is a judgment for believers, and then you look at how you live within this local church, which is His way, He has ordained for us to serve and use our gifts, how does it stack up? Do you believe what God says? Or not? Are you one of those knowers that are out worrying about everything else and you can't be bothered about the judgment to come? Are you someone that says, yeah, I know there's a big judgment coming, but your actions prove otherwise? Or have you heard of the judgment to come and have been moved with fear to prepare for that day? And you've moved with fear to serve the Lord faithfully. If you haven't, how close to the judgment are you going to wait till you start? Because God wants you to start. And this is one way of determining or seeing if you are someone who lives by faith. I believe God's going to judge the lost. I believe He's going to judge me for the way I have used my gifts. He has ordained the local church and the ministries within that for me to use my gifts and talents in this way to fulfill His commission. How do you use those gifts? And are you serving the Lord? Well, that's a way of seeing if you're living by faith or not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've warned us of what your plans are for us, and for this world. And Lord, I pray that we would live in the light of this and see the importance of those eternal things and put more value on those things than, Lord, these things that will perish in that great day of fire. And Lord, I pray that we would be earnestly laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven and a willingness to serve you faithfully. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.